efforts ends in union. But meanwhile, we have to make progress towards that perfection. And what St. John of the Cross says, it will prevent divine union with God. It will also prevent progress. I've often been asked by people, lay people, religious too, and priests, I don't know what's the matter with me. I just seem to be getting nowhere religiously, spiritually. I'm in the doldrums. I'm stopped dead. Why? Here's the answer. These habitual imperfections, see, they're not sins. We're not dealing with sin here. St. John of the Cross presupposes that the people he is talking to have already overcome sin, everything that really directly offends God. These are simply imperfections or attachments, he calls them. These habitual imperfections, for example, are, you know, he gives some examples of what he means by small attachment. Is that to a person, a garment, a book, a cell, a particular kind of food, tittle-tattle? Fancies for tasting, knowing, or hearing certain things, and such like. You can fill up the list yourselves, he says, in effect. These are about the smallest things you can. Now, here are Carmelites in a convent dedicated to seeking after the highest perfection and hindered by an attachment. What kind? To a garment. Fussing about their habits. Or food. Even there they can. Too fussy about their food. Now, if this is true for them, then what would it be true for us, you see? These same small things can hold us back, these attachments. And this is the way we should see them. As any one of these imperfections, he says, if the soul has become attached and habituated to it, is as of great harm to its growth and progress in virtue as though it were to fall into many other imperfections and casual venial sins to which it has no attachment. Sometimes a person may fall into a venial sin, a sudden sin of impatience, let us say, but there's no attachment there. It's human weakness. And so these attachments, though, these habitual attachments, if we're habitually attached to something, like food, why then it will prevent us from moving at all. For as long as there is no possibility that it will make any progress in perfection, even though the imperfection is extremely slight. We really have to take these small things seriously. For it comes to the same thing, whether a bird, now he gives the example, whether a bird be held by a slender cord or by a stout one. Since even if it be slender, the bird will be as well held as though it were stout, as long as it breaks not and flies not away if it be not broken. That's the little poem on the back of your there. Bird, one attachment, held by a single cord. An attachment for smoking. Can you live a really fervent spiritual life and smoke cigarettes habitually? St. John of the Cross doesn't mention that. Do you think that would come under the heading of such like? I think so. That's attachment. You'll notice that it's an attachment becomes addictive. It's no longer harmless. An attachment like that becomes addictive. If we lose control of it, it becomes a compulsion. It even is a hazard to health, as the Surgeon General warns us. And yet I hear of people who get degrees in theology, even spiritual theology, who are chain smokers. It just can't be. Food. That's an attachment that recommends itself to everyone. We're all in danger of that attachment. To certain kinds of food, to overeating. We have a group today, and we call the Overeaters Anonymous, is that it? The Overeaters Anonymous. Like the Alcoholics Anonymous. There's another group, alcohol. That's an attachment, which is a lethal attachment. This is not it's just a danger in Carmelite monasteries. I would suppose it would be least a danger in Carmelite monasteries. This is affecting tens of thousands of men and women, executives, athletes, everyone, an attachment for smoking. Now we know it's a danger to health as well. It's addictive. It becomes an obsession. People can't stop them. They can't stop themselves smoking. And now we're told it can cause death. So these truths, therefore, are relevant to people outside of Carmelite monastery. St. John of the Cross, with this doctrine of perfection, has a word to say to the people of the 20th century, a vital word. Attachments, addictions, obsessions. I see there's a controversy now about a new perfume, a sexy perfume. It's called obsession. Even lay people don't like that. But it becomes an obsession. Sex can become an obsession too, as well as an addiction and an attachment. We'll talk about it later. But alcohol definitely, and food. Eaters Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. Gamblers Anonymous. We think of that as something harmless or indifferent. But it becomes an addiction. It destroys families. It destroys individuals. So these, and anything can be an attachment, any little thing. Fancies for tasting or hearing, talking, imperfections of the tongue. We don't talk, it's not a sin, but this compulsive talking, this endless talking, you see, it will certainly hinder us from any spiritual progress, certainly from divine union. We have to empty our minds to fill them with God. And so we have to take these things, these attachments seriously. St. John of the Cross gives, he says, the soul that has attachment to anything, however much virtue it possesses, might be a very good person, will not attain to the liberty of divine union. And then he gives another vivid example. He says, for the attachment and the desire. Now, he equates all these things. A desire, attachment, affection, even a whim. He equates them all. He says it will have the power which a sucking fish, a little fish, the official name for it is the remora. It's a true fish, but this is pre-scientific science here. It said, it's a very small fish, but if it succeeds in clinging to a ship, it makes it incapable of reaching the port or even sailing at all. The tiny fish. Now, St. John of the Cross doesn't say that's true or that he believes in it. He's just giving us an example. And so he says now here, it is sad to see certain souls in this plight, certain people, we might say, in this plight. Like rich vessels, they are laden with wealth and good works. This fine Catholic man or woman, a fine priest, a splendid bishop. It could be anyone. Because alcoholism and these attachments, these addictions, penetrate them all. Like rich vessels, he says, it's sad to see certain people in this plight. Like rich vessels, they are laden with wealth and good works and spiritual exercise, like a ship is loaded with riches. These people with all their virtues and good qualities, they're loaded with all excellences. And yet, because they have not the resolution to break with some whim or attachment or affection, and they all come to the same thing, he adds, they never make progress or reach the port of perfection, though they would need to do no more than make one good flight, and thus to snap the cord of desire right off, or rid themselves of the sucking fish of desire which clings to them. You have to break that cord. You have to break that attachment. Now, it is greatly to be lamented that when God has granted people like this strength to break other and stouter cords, they've given up sins, perhaps. They should fail to attain blessing because they have not shaken off some childish thing. And certainly, these are childish things. Ann Landers compares a smoking addict to a baby with a nipple that has to be pacified with a nipple. And what is worse? See, they not only make no progress, but what is worse? Now, here's decisive. Because of this attachment, they fall back. They lose what they have gained, and they retrace that part of the road along which they have traveled at the cost of so much time and labor. For it is well known, now this is an axiom of spiritual theology, it is well known that not to go forward is to turn back. Not to be gaining is to be losing. This our Lord himself desired to teach us when he said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." And then the wise man of the Old Testament says, "He that takes not the trouble to repair the vessel, however slight the crack in it, is likely to spill all the liquid within the vessel." The preacher taught us this clearly when he said, "He that contemneth small things shall fall by little and little." This is something we have to learn. So these little attachments are the things that hold us back and prevent us from making any progress in the spiritual life. We have to find out what they are. They're just a few samples. They can be anything. But as long as we have one deliberate, habitual, remember all the words, one deliberate, habitual attachment, we can make no progress whatsoever in the spiritual life. And we will go backwards. This is a law of life. When a mother has an infant, she weighs the infant every day, and when the infant doesn't gain weight, she becomes alarmed. The infant may be very much alive and kicking and screaming, but the mother knows that something is wrong. She knows instinctively, intuitively, that law of life, not to grow is to regress. And to regress continually is to die. I have only one fault with that example of St. John of the Cross. I don't think that in the long run, at any rate, that the attachments are singles. They grow. They multiply like rabbits. The one that's attached to food will be likely attached to smoking. The one that's attached to smoking will likely be attached to liquor. And so on. So we find your attachment. It can be clothing. He mentions the Carmelites, garment. What would we think about the style shows today? For men or for women, our attachment to clothing, the tons of clothing we have and keep, and the change of clothing that we make for every season. I'm delighted and at the same time scandalized when I see our clothing drives in Catholic parishes. I'm glad that people give them to the poor that need them, but I wonder why our people are always complaining about having no money, have so much good clothing to give away. We can be attached for these things. So we have to find out what our attachments is. I think are. I say they multiply. I think a better example would be Gulliver. Remember the story of Gulliver when he went to Lilliputia, where the tiny people lived, 6 inches high? And he lay down to take a sleep, and while he was asleep, they took rope, what they called rope, what we would call thread, and they tied him down, and he couldn't move. This giant of a man couldn't move until they released him. They wound the threads back and forth all over his body, and he couldn't move at all. And so that's what the attachments do. They're not sinful, but they bind us. We become captive to them. We're enslaved by them. It's a real captivity. And we need to do it. Now, I mention things like smoking because it's so obvious. It's a dead giveaway. I told you the other day about sitting at a table with a young priest, and he was telling me about being burnt out. At the same time, he was chain smoking. That told me a lot about his spiritual life. he was one of these that John of the Cross here talks about. How sad it is to see certain people with such virtues and gifts and abilities, and yet they're stopped. They make no progress. They're finished. He's burnt out. He wants to quit a responsible job. The youth of the diocese under his guidance. This is tragic. See? And so, here is the great rule that we must observe. Now, the one further remark about these attachments, which is very necessary. Sometimes we're told that, you know, we have to be involved in the world today. We can't be like in monasteries. We can't get away from everything. We can't be step away from life. This doctrine doesn't hold for people in the world. Well, I think I've perhaps demonstrated to you that it does. But I would like to say that it's meant not only for those who are in monasteries, but for everyone. Do you know what it is that causes wars among us? St. James tells us what it is. In fact, it was in the Mass the other day we had this reading, chapter 4 of St. James. Where do conflicts and disputes among you originate? Is it not your desires that make war within your members? What you desire, you do not obtain, and so you resort to murder. You envy, and you cannot acquire, and so you quarrel and fight. This is what causes quarrel. In a local scene, and the national scene, everywhere. This is what causes wars, because we're so attached to things, and we're willing to fight. We can understand, perhaps, people are willing to fight to save their country, but we're willing to save our attachments. The American way of life, this wasteful way of living by which we have 4/5 of the world's possessions and wealth, while 4/5 of the world's population have to do with 1/5 of its resources. This is our way of living, and we're willing to protect that. We will go to war, even nuclear war, to protect that. Of course, there'll be nothing to protect after that nuclear war. But this text is important, I think, to show that this idea of attachments can be a social attachment, and it can be so severe that it can cause nations and peoples to destroy one another. We've lived through 2 world wars in our time, and we're willing to do it again to save our cigarettes and our liquor and our attachments and our yachts and all the wasteful things that we have. And so each one of you should examine, each one of us all, should examine ourselves, and what are our attachments? How much contribution do we even give to these social attachments? They're so. And remember, they are very small to begin with, but they can become addictions and obsessions and possessions, compulsions that destroy people. John of the Cross was a very wise man, and he had a word to say to the spiritual life of late people, even in the 20th century, although he lived in the 16th. So let us think of these things. We'll go down now and meditate on them, and then we'll meet for dinner.